Crema.
Darius Garland uses that man's screen and inside Archie Diacono. Now backs up, fires a long distance three. Darius Garland is a perfect 4-for-4 from three-point range. And the Bulls won another timeout of the Cavs. Have taken a 117-97 lead.
Yes, Cavaliers trying to put the dagger in them right now.
Broadcasting live-ish from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on the sunny shores of beautiful Lake Erie.
Sexton cruza a la derecha para Garland. La pantalla, este ya verán, lo libera de Cody White. No hay alley-oop. Ahora sí, se cuelga del aro. Patrulla juvenil. ¡Feliz cumpleaños, Jared Allen!
In downtown Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
You've tuned in to Wine and Gold Radio.
Ow!
Now, here are your hosts, Rafa, J-Bike, and Joe G.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, hey, everybody.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey, and welcome to episode 13 of Wine and Gold Radio.
Lucky 13. You realize that in American culture, you talk about Friday the 13th, and in Hispanic culture, it's Tuesday the 13th.
Is Tuesday the 13th
I've
unlucky?
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
It's unlucky?
Tuesday the 13th is unlucky.
Martes 13 is the unlucky one, not Friday the 13th.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
And I also didn't know if 13 was a superstitious number in other cultures. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's lucky.
J-Mike, you said that was your number.
Yeah.
And, of course, J-Mike, that was his number, and he's in the Beaver County Hall of Sports Hall of Fame with that as number 13. His
number's
like Joe Namath, I think. So all their numbers are retired.
The Francona.
John's number 13 hangs in the rafters in Beaver County, Pennsylvania. Beaver County. So
how are you, Wolfie?
What's that?
How are you?
I'm doing really well. And our special guest on today's show is going to be Campy Russell, the great Campy Russell.
Legend.
Yeah, and he wore three numbers for the Cavaliers. I'm bringing up numbers because today, like I told you last, we've had our technicians working almost round the clock. Really,
our budget went up.
Well, yeah, they've been slaving around the clock to get this, to get our. And again, we're spitballing here, so we could call it the wine line, but we now have a phone number where fans of the show can call in and either praise us and tell us what a great job we're doing, or just tell us that we're doing a really good job.
Can we leave a voicemail like with the De La Soul song? Hello, how you doing? Sorry, I can't get through.
Yes, we can.
Why don't you leave your name
yes.
and your number? And we'll get back to you.
I want to leave a George Costanza message, maybe. But either way, we're going to leave them.
What's the number?
We're going to leave them. We're going to have a phone line. It's not an 800 number. It's actually
press one. Press one for praising us. Two for leaving more praise. Why don't you just tell me what number you want?
So again, this is a good, and we call it the wine line. But I'm hoping nobody whines, because let me tell you this: this used to be a phone number for people to call in with suggestions, and I've been going through them, and it's a lot of angry people. I don't want to hear any angry people on our line. I mean, I guess you could.
There's room for everybody.
Yeah, room for everybody. Be entertaining, though. That's what we're saying. But we'll tell you what to do on the message.
Wine or win hotline.
Well, the thing is, it's not an 800 number. It's a 216 number.
Okay.
I mean, it's literally a Cleveland number. It's a Cavs extension.
We are from.
So, J-Mike, you got your pen ready?
Got it.
Okay, listeners, I'll give everybody a second to get their pens.
They could put pause, man. You know, you don't have to pause your podcast. Okay, everybody back.
Okay, ready? Okay, the number is 216, mm-hmm. the 216, of course, we all know that. That's the Cleveland. And then 420.
Ooh.
You know.
We just celebrated
420. So that day just went by.
You purposely asked for a 420 number?
No, that's the Cavs extension. It's just 216, 420, and then 2552. 2552, Mark Price, Sagana Jop. Did you guys – let me just ask you this. Rafa just made a face that he knew who Sagana Jop was. Let's try. Oh, you know who else wore 52?
Who? Ray Lewis.
Well, you're getting colder, buddy.
Yeah.
Vitaly Poropenko, the guy who you chickened out with arm wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that, I like that better.
Okay, so Mark Price, Vitaly Poropenko, 25-52. That's Mike Webster for J. Mike. So, ooh. But either way, let me ask you this just real quick. Mm-hmm. When you guys were younger, and now you're both married now, did you used to memorize girls' numbers if you got them out at night by players' numbers?
No.
You didn't?
No.
How'd you memorize them?
Six numbers. I still remember my first ever phone number back home. 2525. That was the number.
That's great. Yeah. Mine was 883-2239. But anyway, you didn't remember girls' numbers by
players' numbers? No, I wasn't thinking like Derek Jeter, Thurman Munson, and no.
Really?
No.
Oh, my God. Every time I remember, and you kind of would say it to your buddies, so they'd remember a player.
You, John?
Yeah, John. Did you?
I used player numbers. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Of course.
No. You used player. Oh my God.
Man, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I guess you guys had a different childhood than I did.
Yeah, I guess so, man. So anyway, that is the. I'll repeat it again.
216-420-2552.
216.
American football. Yeah, American football lends itself to that, Rolf. I think that's what it is.
That's why.
Yeah. You probably guys didn't have
fans. The gamut of numbers. You'll find something.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you have a complaint, no, you know what? I'm not even going to put that out there. Who would complain
Line. It's an open line,
right? If you want to say whatever you want to say about the Cavs, if you have an impression, if you have a song, be entertaining. That's my thing, because I'm telling you right now, we're using it on the show. We really don't care what you think. It's more just that we like to use it on the show for entertainment.
If you have John Michael's imitation, it'll be good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Huh? Yeah, a nice if you could give me a nice he nailed it.
Yeah.
or never listen, whatever you guys want, but either way, this is the number.
Now that you mentioned that, you know, when we won the championship in 2016, they came out with a bottle opener that talked.
That's right.
But it's a great idea, but I think mine is better, cuz when you open a bottle, it will have John's last call, which I think is great. It's
so
legendary.
Great.
Legendary.
John, do you have any of those? Can I get some? Can I get one of those?
We used to have about 40 of them, but I don't know.
Yeah,
They were awesome. Yeah.
But yeah. I have a better. I want to improve the item, and I want it to be like when you open the beer, it just said, "Hey, nailed it." You know what I mean?
Yeah. What did the call say?
It was the end of the call.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is legendary, which is great, the best you ever hear. But in order, if you're having a beer, you're going to like instant gratification.
Did
right?
we give those away? Did we give
know.
Those away at games?
No.
I don't know. John has like five boxes of them.
Because that would
I
be
did.
A great giveaway. That would
I
be.
Did. I don't have any left.
But I want mine to say, see, when you open the beer.
Great.
That would be great, right?
Yeah. That would be great.
And would you have one? One Angle Radio.
John Michael, what's the phone number again?
It ends with 52. 2552 is
very good.
216-420-2552.
Very good. Okay.
So in terms of numbers, in terms of players, who would that be?
In terms of Cavs players? I just told you. That's Mark Price. And I'm going to Mark Price, Jim Brewer. We don't do Ray Lewis in Cleveland, dude. So
what about 420?
420, that's easy to remember. That's just the Cavs extension. And we just celebrated 420.
You do Mariano Rivera, Kevin Love.
Yeah, that's not necessary though. 420 is pretty much a memorable number. Then 2552. So that's the number.
Are we giving prizes for the first phone calls?
Let's see how good people
are. How about
this? Let's see how good people are first.
I have five Los Cavaliers T-shirts that we can give away to the first callers.
Okay.
How about
that's
that?
That's great. I love that. And I just got my Los Cavaliers shirts, and I love them.
How about
and
that?
And JB Bickerstaff.
You like that, John?
Yeah. Those are good shirts, too.
Those are. Those are quality
are the players
shirts.
The ones the players use on the court.
I'm going to call and get a few extras. Yeah.
I'm going to call and get the bottle opener. That should be the prize, the grand prize.
You wait till I design it, and then you'll enjoy it when you open your beer. Nailed it.
Okay, we're going to be right back. Segment two with Campy Russell. We're going to talk a little alumni, talk a little Wall of Honor, and the schedule coming up on Wine and Gold Radio.
Wine and Gold Radio, 216-420-2552.
3, 2, 1.
Hi, this is Mr. Cavalier Austin Carr, and I never listen to Wine and Gold Radio.
There's more of this.
Folks, this is a garbage spectacular.
After this, on Wine and Gold Radio.
The Cav City Collection is now available online at cav.com/shop. Rep the land with jerseys, hats, tees, and more, inspired by the Cav City Edition uniforms.
Glove running the lane, left side dance, pow, with two hits.
The Cavaliers, in a partnership with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, introduced the team's City Edition uniform, featuring a design and style that reflects the grit, attitude, and spirit of Cleveland's rock and roll roots. See the whole collection at cav.com/shop.
Hey, everybody, I'm Jeff Phelps from Fox Sports Ohio. When I'm looking for the absolute best, most in-depth Cavalier content, I don't listen to Wine and Gold Radio.
Now, back to Wine and Gold Radio.
I like it!
Okay, everybody, and welcome back to Wine and Gold Radio, episode 13.
Wine and Gold Radio.
Are you guys, we named it
episode 21.
Well, the thing is, that our next guest had three different numbers with the Cavaliers.
According oh, really? To,
yeah, three different numbers. So I don't know if he's superstitious or not, but 4, 20, 21. The great Campy Russell.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. I mean, really, when I say the great Campy Russell, I mean
can
the
I
great
do,
Campy
Can
Russell.
I do the yeah. background music?
Yes.
Okay.
Campy, you must be really looking forward to this because of the nightmare it must be working with Jeff Phelps every night. Working with that guy's the biggest diva in all of sports. I sat next to him on the plane for a few years. That guy's the biggest diva in all of sports. How do you do it?
Hold on. Who are you talking about, Rafa, or are you talking about Joe Page?
I'm talking about Jeff Phelps.
Or Jeff Phelps. Who are you talking about?
How do you deal with that guy every night?
You saying Jeff?
Yeah, I'm saying
my
Jeff.
My friend Jeff?
How do you deal with that guy every night?
Oh, Jeff's a heck of a guy, man. He is one of my favorite people of all time.
Isn't he the nicest man of all time?
Oh, my goodness, man. He is just such a great host. You know, he's knowledgeable about a lot of different things. And he has definitely helped me in a lot of situations. I have a lot of respect for him. A lot.
He is the best, man. I love that guy. Like I said, we were on the road. He sat in the Rafa seat for a few years.
Poor Campy. He has to work with Jeff and John Michael.
I know. Good thing he's got Angel to kind of brace the impact.
Now, John and I go way back, too, now. You know, we sit in the same office space together, and we shut our doors, and we just sit back there and talk and had a great time. Every time he showed up, which was every now and then.
Do you guys miss that closet?
I was gonna say
was the best thing going. I'm telling you.
You call that an office space?
Yeah, you have no idea how many games we watch back there. We just games would be on constantly, and we just sit and talk. I mean, you talk about being able to learn a lot. You know, you just shut your mouth and open your ears and just listen to Campy while he's watching the game. We had a ball back there.
Yes, we did. Yes,
they said. They said you guys are gonna be in a. It was almost like a closet.
It was.
Right, it was a closet.
I was like, what? It's like, no, that's crazy. And they said, well, no, you and Cam will be back there. And there's a TV and there's a printer. And there's a, it's like, oh, that's perfect. That sounds
good.
These guys
and
literally.
And it was great.
They literally have.
I felt the same way.
Their office was
the same way when they told us that.
Their office was in the rack room.
Well, after I got back there, I said, oh, my goodness. This, hey, we can't do this.
Right.
Campy, your official title, every time I introduce somebody on the show, I give their title. But really, as soon as I say it, I kind of think, your title is Campy. You know what I mean? You're the director of alumni relations. That's one of your many jobs that you have here. But you're, like yes. I said, you're Campy. That's kind of your job is that. But I will have to say, you do an incredible job, and you've helped me out tremendously with alumni, keeping up with the former players. How is that day to day? I mean, are you constantly in constant contact with the guys? Is that a job that you have to do?
Well, I think for the most part, I'm in constant contact with the guys that are here locally. You know, those six to seven guys, Larry Nance, Jones, Austin, Barry Clemens, Elmore Smith, Bingo Smith, Larry Nance Sr. those guys are the ones that I deal with pretty much on a regular. here as of late, I've been talking a lot to Brad Daugherty as well as Mark Price as well. So, you know, those guys have really been connected or is connected, and they have been really good for us because for a long time we had, we were not in contact with Brad in particular. Mm-hmm. Now Brad has come back aboard, and man, I tell you, that guy is a hell of a man. I mean, he has all kind of insight about a lot of different things, and then dealing with Mark as well as Craig Elo, all those guys have been really good, and they want to be a part, just like they are a part of the Cleveland Cavaliers. No matter where they are in America or in the world, they're still a part of this organization.
Yeah, to me, one of the best things about the 50th anniversary celebration was bringing that era almost back in the family. You know, did it feel that way to you too? I mean, that Daugherty and Price and Elo, you named some of the greatest names of that era. It almost felt like they were being reinvited back in, and now they too are a part of the family. Is that the way you see it?
And I think you said it just right. You know, when you talk about bringing them back, and then they were definitely being embraced, not just by our organization, but by the city, by Ohio, by Northeast Ohio, because those guys were a big part of this Cavalier history. A lot of people grew up, you know, idolizing those guys and idolizing that team. So to have those guys come back into the fold, it was a great situation for the Cavaliers. And you talk to those guys now about the Cavaliers, they're all in, and they have done anything we want have asked of them. So for me, it's a good marriage between our former players and our organization. And I think I have to give all the credit to our owner, Dan Gilbert. I thought, you know, he saw that there was a need, and he made this position happen. And we've done a good job of trying to be, to embrace all of our former players, all of them, not just particular ones, but all of them. We've done a great job of that.
I think every year that has gone by before 2016 was important and key to get to that moment. And mm-hmm. I think that's one mm-hmm. of the things that Dan Gilbert has done. It's kind of like, don't forget where you came from mm-hmm. And remember the roots of the organization and how difficult it was at the beginning and how great it became and all that. But I have a question for you that you mentioned that generation, you know, during the pandemic, almost a little bit over a year ago, that horrible self-documentary story by Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, came out, and he was full of himself and told all the beautiful things about himself. We know the story that apparently Harper asked to guard Michael Jordan on the shot by Craig Elo, and I think even Brad Daugherty said, we don't remember him saying anything. Could you get in touch with Coach Wilkins to kind of have the tiebreaker here and see like if he really asked to guard Michael Jordan on that play?
You know, Rafa, some things you just let them lie. You don't even bother with it. You know, you just let the story be what the story is. You can't go unearth something, bring back that create an issue.
Oh, okay.
I would never go back to any of those guys to say, hey, come tell the truth. Tell me what the real story is.
Can't be. Let it be noted that the opinions of Rafa are not those of the rest of the rest of the podcast. The opinions and statements made by Rafa Hernandez Brito in no way reflect the opinions of anybody else.
Okay, hey, John, since you are an attorney, I think you should write that somewhere on the
where. Opinions are his. When the caveat was made, yes.
Okay, I guess we're going to leave that there.
Campy, you, and again, as far as just touching on the alumni thing again, you set me up with so many players to interview for the website. And this last year, I interviewed Andre Miller. And you talk about players, and you just talked about guys wanting to come home and be in Cavaliers. And again, Andre Miller was here at the beginning of his career. And then, I don't know, he might have went to 6 or 7 other different teams. You know what I mean? He did a lot. He got to the cusp of the Hall of Fame, really, when you look at his numbers. He talks about how much he loved being a Cavalier, how much he can't wait to come back. Heard about the 50th anniversary celebration. So it's kind of cool just that some of these guys, you know, you think they just forget about the Cavs, but really once they are here, it really gets into them, you know?
You know, Joe, my experience have been with these guys after having the opportunity to reach out to them in some form, whether it's through email, texts, or personal phone calls. They all have been like, man, really? You know, you guys are trying to embrace us. And I'm saying, hey, yes, you are a part of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, as a Cavalier organization, you know, Dan Gilbert, our president, you know, Lynn Komorowski and Nick Bartlett and all those guys, they want you to be a part of what we have going on here. Because for us, it's about you all, the players, the one who helped make this what it is to this day. So I've talked to a lot of guys and they're like, man, I'm blown away with this.
Yeah.
Whatever you want me to do, just pick up the phone and call me. You know, and since I've been involved with this, I think I have to have at least about 400 or 500, you know, addresses, emails, all of that, because guys are passing it around, letting everybody else know that, hey, they're embracing us. They want us to be a part of the organization. And that's our mission at this point, is to try to keep these guys engaged in any activity that we have going on where it's required to have them available. And most of those guys have been very receptive to that.
Do you write an article about guys that were here for a brief period of time, but left a big impact in the organization?
Yeah. Guys, they were, I did.
I thought that was really cool because there were some guys that I didn't even know were Cavaliers, but, you know, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, there were guys that came here a short time and left good impressions and bad impressions. Really, there were some of those too, man. But there were guys that were here just a short time and really, like, they, you know, I don't know, they just be the city embraced them. They embraced the city. There's a couple guys on the team right now that you can tell that are they're Cavaliers. You know, I don't know if that sounds weird to guys not from Cleveland, but you can look at them and you say that guy's a Cavalier. Look at Lamar Stevens.
Do you look like I'm from Cleveland?
No, you don't. You're not. Well, you're a Cav. You are now. But like Lamar Stevens, you look at that guy and you're like, that's a Cav.
He's one of us.
Yeah, he's one of us. Yeah. He just seems like it, doesn't he? Just, you know, lovable guys.
What about in your case, Campy, coming to Cleveland? How was that moment or that period of your life? Was it as easy for you to transition coming to Cleveland from Michigan?
I don't think there was much of a decision, really. You either went into the NBA or you went to the ABA.
Yeah.
Was teetering on not being around. You know? So from our perspective, it was really easy to make this choice. But I say this all the time. To be honest with you, I never thought I would be here in Cleveland. It never even crossed my mind, because during my time of being vetted and all that, Cleveland was never a part of the situation at all. And so the day of the draft, when I got a call from a reporter me that the Cleveland Cavaliers had drafted me, I was like, oh, my God, no. But I tell you, it turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened to me. But later on, I found out that actually the Seattle Supersonics drafted me.
Ooh.
And they traded me to Cleveland along with Dick Snyder for Tom Burleson, for the switching of draft choices. Tom Burleson went to Seattle and I came to Cleveland along with Dick Snyder. So that's how I got here. I was originally drafted by the Seattle Supersonics. So again, I didn't have any problems with coming, either going to Seattle or coming to Cleveland, but it all worked out for me coming here to Cleveland because it turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Let me get this straight. You found out from a reporter? That was the first you heard where you were going? I mean, Austin tells a story. He was in some class at Notre Dame, and the professor told him he got drafted. I mean,
what do you mean? You didn't have a draft party?
You weren't in the green room or anything? Like that?
What were you doing?
Hey, I was in the ancient times of Austin as well. I was just, Austin came in 71, I think it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I came, you know, 3 years later. First there was James, JJ, then Austin, then Jim Brewer, and then me. You know, so I was 3-4 years behind those guys, but we all went through the same thing, you know.
What were you doing that right when you were getting drafted? Did you know the draft was going on at that point, or?
at that time, you know, I was at Michigan. And I knew the draft was happening. I knew at some point in time somebody was going to call me. It was like, I know I'm going to get drafted now. It's not like I'm sitting over here worried about it. You know?
So
I just carried on until I got a phone call. And after I got a phone call, I said, okay. oh, my God. Jeez. And then after that, I was good with it.
And why do you wear different numbers? Like Joe was mentioning at the beginning.
Well, in college, I wore the number 20. Okay. That was easy. And then after about 2 years in the league, one of my dear friends, one of my mentors, a guy who I love in a lot of different ways, Dave Bing, who helped groom me, helped me in a lot of different ways. He retired from the league. And matter of fact, I think he might have retired the year that we beat them in the during the Washington Bullets playoffs. He retired that next year. And then I decided, after talking to him, that I wanted to wear the number 21 in honor of Dave Bing. So I did that for the rest of my career, with the exception of when I came back here the second time after being traded here from Washington. I took on the number 4. And at that time, I had 4 children. So I took the number 4 because of my children, my 3 girls and my son.
Would you have been able to afford the number changing now with the new rules that the NFL had put in place, that if you change your number, you got to buy the inventory of all the jerseys made with your number?
Hey, I would have took any number they gave me then. I mean, why am I going to pay for all these jerseys? Hey, give me a question. Give me a question mark. Put a question mark over here.
Camp, before we got on the air, we talked about the Wall of Honor, and the first year's class was really cool. And for me personally, the moments around Nick Mulledy were just moving and so cool and so, I mean, beautiful. I mean, really, it was a great moment in sports. And obviously, with the pandemic, we took a pause this year. Hopefully, we're going to get you up there. But really, what I wanted to say is, you're always kind of deferential to other players, other former Cavaliers, and you kind of almost never take credit for yourselves. And that's why I'm really looking forward to seeing you go up there. That's you deserve it. And I almost kind of think you deserve your own class. That's kind of my personal theory, just because, not that you're better than anybody, but because you've been the driving force behind the alumni, and that's been the driving force behind the Wall of Honor. So I just need to say that.
Well, you know, I appreciate those kind words, but you know, for the most part, man, you know, I think you've been around me long enough now, Joe, to know that for me, it's about other people. You know, it's not necessarily about me, and that's just who I am. That's just how I was brought up. That's just a part of my being around 7 boys and 3 girls in our family, a total of 10 people. And always, there was always cousins and aunts and nieces and all that always around. So it was never about any one particular person. It was about the whole.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at a lot of different things. It's about the whole. It's not about a Campy Russell or, you know, anybody like that. And that's just how I was brought up. That's just part of who I am. So,
and that's one of the things that makes you great.
That's what we want you in the Wall.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I wanted to bring up one specific thing about your playing days, and that a lot of people don't know this, and it's kind of that you led the league in 3-point shooting in 81-82. And that, and again, that was back when, you know, big guys for sure weren't 3-point shooters. And, you know, you look back at some of the 3-point numbers, I think we combined for 53 3-pointers against Chicago. I think that was the number. Right. What was the three? I mean, how many attempts did you have that year? And what was the 3-point shooting like back then?
Well, you hit like 20 and you're in.
Right. Exactly. This is really funny because I tell you, when they called me and told me that I was the that won the 3-point percentage shots. I was like, what? You know, because I know I didn't take that many of them, number one, but you had the limit was 50. You had to at least shoot at least 50.
Right.
So that tells you right there that the three-point shot was not a weapon back in those days.
Right.
It was a weapon when you were down maybe 8, 9, 10 points and you got 2 or 3 minutes left to go in the game. That's the only time that weapon came into play. So when I won it, I was like, really?
I think there are 50 triples attempted every night.
I was going to say, Steph shoots 50 in a week.
The best part of the story is somebody had to call you and tell you.
Hey, again, that's a prehistoric days now, you know.
That's the best part to me. Everybody today knows precisely where they are. You hear any player say, oh, stats, I don't really know what I have in a game. Yeah. No, yes, you do. Everybody knows. Somebody had to call you and tell you. You were the 3-point percentage champion.
I did not know, honestly. I'm telling you because it's like, well, I didn't shoot a lot of them, you know? And I mean, it so happened, I think it said something about I think it was like 42%.
No, 43, 44%. 43,
49. I only shot 50 of them. And the only time I really took them is when the game was late in the game or it was we needed a three. Like that. It's the only time I ever took them.
So how big was the check? You get a car and
No, I got a trophy that was about this big.
Because, I mean, like you watch today's game. Like last night I'm watching the game and, you know, you got Vooch and you got Daniel Tice. I mean, that's a big dude. He's all tatted up and he's shooting three-pointers. And I'm like, man, I'm an old guy because back in the day, big dudes like that were in the paint. They weren't shooting threes. So
back to the basket.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny, man. The game.
Well, listen, I think that just speaks volumes to how the game has changed.
Yeah.
And how valuable the three-point shot has become. And in some cases, it has been an exciting element to our game, which has definitely helped the popularity of our game. And when you have a guy like Steph Curry and some of these other great three-point shooters that are out there, that has definitely brought a lot more fans into our game because of that excitement. So for me, you know, I applaud it. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not like it all the time, but I applaud the fact that it has helped the popularity of our game.
That being said, Campy, obviously we're talking with the legendary Campy Russell, Michigan alum. That being said, would you enjoy, I know like financially you would enjoy playing in these days, but like would you enjoy or would your game have to change if you play in the now in the NBA?
My game?
Yes. Or will you enjoy it more because it's more shooting? I know you were a scorer, but right. Would it change at all?
Well, to me, I think the beauty of basketball is to be a scorer, not necessarily a jump shooter, not less necessary, but I consider myself really just a basketball player, meaning I can play anywhere. You know, I wasn't 7 feet, but if you want me to go in the paint and play in the paint, I can play in the paint. Mm-hmm. You want me to go to mid-range? I can play in mid-range. If you want me to play guard, I can play guard. If you want me to play power forward, I can rebound the ball and do those kind of things. So for me, I think my game, because of how we were all brought up at the time, that your game could translate into anything. And if you go back from where I'm from, which is Michigan, you look at some of the players that have played that come from the state of Michigan, whether it's Spencer Haywood, George Gervin, Magic Johnson, you know, you can just name guys.
Scorers.
Those guys were well-rounded basketball players. They could do it all. So that's the kind of template that I came from, is having the ability to do it all, to play all throughout the court. And the more guys you have on your team that can do that and that they're tough and they got this mentality of winning, you got a hell of a team. You're putting together a hell of a team. So that's where I come from. That's the era that I come from, is having multiple skill sets.
And now you said the word tough. You know, last week we had Jim Jones as our guest here at One and Gold Radio, and I'll ask you the same question. Who was a tougher player, you, Jim, or AC?
I don't know how to to really answer that. Uh-oh. You know, because for me,
I think we all kind of had the same mindset. And that mindset was, you know, we're going to go out here and deliver on a consistent basis. Our attitude was about trying to win. And also our biggest attitude was we could say whatever we wanted to say to each other. And yes, we can get mad at each other, but the next time we see each other, we're going to be like, hey, man, how you doing, man? What's up? You know, meaning that it wasn't about that argument we had or disagreement. It was about how can we get better? How can we win basketball games? And what is it that we got to do to win games? So it wasn't about toughness. It was about toughness from the standpoint of when we show up to go play,
yeah,
you know, we're going to get it done and we're going to play that way. But once the game is over, you know, everybody's good.
Say, so you're just lucky Jim Jones doesn't have a bad temper.
Well, you know, Jimmy don't have a bad temper. He just, you know, he portrays that.
He does.
You know, but Jimmy's really a good guy. You know, it's just
he's a teddy bear.
I'm sorry.
He's a teddy bear. I always say he's a big bear. Like,
hey, Jimmy is who he is. He's a heck of a guy, and you just got to know who he is and how he is, and everything will be okay. and most of all, you can't take it personal. He's really a good guy, though.
He's the best.
Oh, I love Jim.
What was AC like back in the day? Back then, I mean, again, he comes in as the number one pick. He's the top gun. So what was he like back then?
Well, AC was just like he is now. You know, he was a really serious guy when he came on the floor. I mean, he was looking to score the basketball. And as I tell him sometimes, you think Colin Sexton is how he is. I said, Austin, in some cases, you are very similar to that.
He's the old bull.
Oh my God.
And you know something? He has never once said to me, what do you mean? I tell you what, Austin and I and all of us are really close to each other. Yeah. And again, if I didn't think I could say what I'm saying right now, I wouldn't ever say it. Because I know he's going to take it the right way, and he know that because he know I'll say something like that.
John, you have to call AC the old bull.
Not a chance. Not a chance. Nope.
How about Mr. Cavalier? Let's go with that one instead. Hey, Campy, can you stick around one more segment with us? We want to talk about the current team. Take a little look ahead and the week we have coming up.
All right.
Some tough road contests.
Hi, this is Colin Sexton from Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Wine and Gold Radio, Cleveland, Ohio, America.
There's more of this.
Oh, my. Come on, man.
After this. On Wine and Gold Radio.
Designed from the land, for the land, the Team Shop has introduced a new in-house apparel line called the Land Collective. The first series is inspired by the 2020 NBA Draft. Each series will focus on a specific theme and feature exclusive pieces that will only be available while supplies last. Get these new looks from the Team Shop today only at cavs.com/shop. For more style inspiration and to be the first to know about upcoming collections, follow at Land Collective on Instagram.
Hey, this is Andrew Harding, the co-founder of Knocking Point Wines, the official wine partner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm a big fan of wine, big fan of sports, big fan of the Cavs, but I would never listen to Wine and Gold Radio. That's it. Never. Cheers.
Now, back to Wine and Gold Radio.
Well, okay, hotshot.
Okay, pack up for segment 3 on Wine and Gold Radio, episode 13.
Gold Radio.
Hey, we got the great Campy Russell with us, Director of Alumni Relations. I always have to read your title. Again, your title's Campy. That's it. You're the Campy of the Cavs. I'm the Joe G of the Cavs. He's the Rafa. That's really our titles.
And John.
Yeah. And
Juan.
Well, and Juan, of course. Guys coming off a nice win last night, much-needed win against the Bulls after kind of a pair of not so good performances. But last night, what'd you think of that win?
I like the fact that Coach Buckner got his first win.
It was nice.
You know, the Cleveland spot coaches are 2-0 in 2021 after the Browns coach got a win too in the playoffs. But yeah. We talked about it before the game, how we kind of expected things to change coming home. We haven't really been, it took a month for the team to get another win at home. You know, the last win was back in March 21st.
Yeah.
And especially after that, forget about the Chicago one, because the one in Chicago, after the start in Detroit, you sense that they needed something to show up and kind of change that mentality, just to stop the wheels on the things going bad and getting a W. So I like that. I like the fact that, you know, Garland continues to find way to generate offense for everybody else. And obviously Colin Sexton, we were talking about him earlier, you know, he just keeps putting up 20 points. And I think it was JB who said that if you can wake up Campy in any day and put 20 points on the board in the NBA, you're a basketball player.
Well, there's one thing for sure. When you look at Colin, he is a basketball player. The thing I like about Colin is how tough he is and how consistent he is and how he comes to play every single night. And it's at a high level. Not a level down here at 50%. It's not even at 70. It's at 100. 105, 110. That's the thing that I like about Colin Sexton. To me, I think you mentioned the word mentality, Rafa. Mm-hmm. Mentality is not an up and down thing. Mentality is a constant, you know, and if you're constant with your mentality, whatever it is, you know, I think that's the key. But in basketball, your mentality has to be about trying to win and doing whatever it's going to take to win. And
every night.
together as a unit to win. That's what mentality. Have that same kind of mentality.
Yeah. I always say the key to the NBA is consistency. You know, can you do it every night? And he can. Never has a nickname been more appropriate than Collins, because that guy just, you know, he is relentless. He comes at you the whole game.
He sustains that same effort.
Yeah.
Every time you see him. I mean, it's right here every time. Every time. And he has the ability to take it up a notch. So that speaks volumes to the kind of guy that Colin, kind of player that Colin Sexton is.
Yeah.
Now, what's your take on the W, Juan Miguel?
Obviously it was necessary. The start was great. I mean, I think the start was great, mostly because of what they did on the defensive end. I mean, you held the Bulls at 12 points in that first quarter. You forced 20 turnovers on the night, you know, and you even talk about setting the tone, trying to change,
like keeping it
change the trend, change the way in which the team is going. You crank it up on the defensive end. I thought, to me, that was the biggest part of what they did last night in the first quarter. And the overall stats don't tell the story, because once the game was well out of reach, the Bulls, you know, put some things together in the fourth quarter. So the numbers overall don't look terrific, you know, in terms of that defense. But to me, the defensive effort, you want to turn the tides on the way things are going, play it, you know, start it out on the defensive end. And I thought that's what they did last night.
And Campy talked about the consistency. And one of the things that I liked a lot was not only we got off to a good start where we kept the pace. I always say to my broadcast, it's like you got to have that MMA mentality that until the ref takes you off of the opponent, you got to keep punching. And that's what they did in the second quarter. You know, that's what they did starting the second half. And then obviously, like John said, in the fourth quarter, you kind of have to put it apart, because it's like the third unit for the Bulls starting like set playing like 7 minutes to go. So, but I like the effort.
Yep. So it's going to, again, now it's quick home stopover. And now three of...
With another road game. And
right. I swear to God, it seemed like every game after the All-Star break has been on the road. They have just been, you know, just all over the road this whole time. So this weekend, three games and four nights on the road, starting Friday night in Charlotte, and then Monday, Washington. First game against Washington, and they're red hot. Yeah, they're really bringing it now. And then the first time to Tampa to play the Raptors. That could be kind of weird.
So just a quick question to both of you guys, to all three of you guys.
Yeah.
Is LaMelo Ball coming back, or is he still out for
clear, the... He's been cleared to do basketball activities, but I don't think he's coming back to play anytime soon, at least not this year. He's just been cleared to get to become to start some kind of activities in the team facility. So I don't think he has anything to do with even two one-on-one yet, you know, from his
front. Well, this is a young, talented young man that I think everybody, nobody really knew what he was going to be. But he has clearly shown everybody that he is going to be an impact player in our league because of his size, his awareness, his mind. The fact that the young man is a outstanding basketball player with a lot of size and skills.
Yeah. And no fear. He has no fear of anything. He's like,
yeah. And you can tell
that's part of being a player.
Yeah.
And Joe talked about this too, Camp. How about the Cavs running into the Wizards right now? Of all times to be the Wizards. They're playing their best basketball of the season. They just lost the rookie, by the way. Denny Avia sustained a hairline fracture, it was reported. So he is likely out for a while, if not the rest of the season. But man, that court is clicking, can't be in Dylan Westbrook. They're playing some great ball right now.
Both of those guys, to me, are some of the top players in our league. You know, evident by their numbers, their consistency, their attitude, and their ability as it relates to their approach to the game every single night. You look at Bill and you look at Westbrook.
You know,
and they have size.
When you do stuff in this league that nobody has ever done before, and when you talk about having multiple triple doubles against every single team in the league, it's insane what he can do with the basketball.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether or not they're able to build that unit, something around those two.
Westbrook he kind of reminds me of Colin in some ways in that he is like I would say relentless.
I think Colin's a better shooter.
Well, I mean, they're different kind of players, but I mean, I'm talking about in terms of relentlessness that they're you talk about MMA that they just come at you the whole night. You know, Colin has one. I think John said this during a broadcast. Colin has one speed. He has one speed. You know, you turn on the switch and he goes, man. So
I think he got three speeds. Fast, and faster.
And really fast.
and to be honest, Darius is a nice counterpoint because he's kind of like a little, he's a little mellower. And Campy, you've told me this before, and you said you used to play at kind of a six. You said you kind of can play at a six. You can always take it up, but like you always be consistent. Darius kind of is like that. He kind of plays at his own speed. He can turn it up. He's quick when he wants to be and explosive when he wants to be. But for the most part, he kind of plays at his own speed.
And he's very deceptive with use of his speed.
He puts him to sleep.
That is the quality of a good offensive player. A guy that can dictate to the defense what's going to happen. The defense is trying to dictate to the offense what's going to happen. But a good offensive player dictates to the defense. He puts the defense where he wants to put the defense.
Yeah.
You watch Colin as well as you watch Darius. They both have the ability to put the defense where they want to, particularly Darius, because the defense can think they got him and he'll either slow down or he'll speed up or he'll cross you over. He'll do something to make you move to where he wants you to move. So for a second-year guy, when you look at Darius, my goodness, he is truly a bona fide point guard in our league. And you couldn't ask for anybody better than him at this particular point, and he's only going to get better. You know, his ceiling for me is really high. And even you look at Sexton, his ceiling is high because he has this thing in him that's burning in him real hot and to go out and compete hard every time he steps out there on the floor. Yeah. So that's something that no one wants to tamper with because that is the thing that makes him go. Both of those guys, that's what makes him go.
It sounds to me, what I'm hearing is a 3-0 weekend. That's what I hear when I'm talking to you guys right now. Campy Russell, it was such an honor to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us. Campy Russell, a guy who jacked up a ton of three-pointers back in 81-82.
Yeah, a ton of them. Hey, and speaking of that, before we go, there was Michael Ray Richardson, Sugar, they call it, Michael Ray Richardson, and Ray Williams. They were on the same team that I was on, okay, with the Knicks. And they probably took 200 or 300 threes by themselves. Again, when they told me I won the thing, and I said, like, I didn't even take any. And they said, well, the minimum was. I said, oh, okay. That's less than one.
What was those guys' reaction when you told them you won it?
No, well, I didn't have to tell them. They told me.
Because they probably call and find out if they had won it.
Campy Russell won it.
Yeah, it was a minimum of 50. Yeah. So you should have been more prudent with your shots.
Campy Russell, man, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man. I really enjoyed it.
See you in the golf course, man.
Oh, yeah. All right. Later. All right, John.
All right, guys, that was the legendary, the incomparable.
Mr. Wolverine.
Campy Russell, the three-point marksman, Campy Russell. that is it for Wine and Gold Radio, Episode 13. There was no bad luck. Nothing went wrong so far. We wanted to say thank you, of course, say our thank yous to Matt Gold, the Golden Boy, Lucy Veras.
I met him finally the other day.
You finally met the Golden Boy? What a great kid, huh? Yes. Yeah.
And I saw Lucy Veras finally for a while because she, now that we can come in more often to the office, I finally run into her.
She's a ray of sunshine, ain't she? She's the best. Casey Koulis, of course. Joe Fritchin, whose office we are using right now. Yeah. Matt of the North, Robert J. Hageman. Joe Moner, our guy D-Mac. Hardest working man in show business and one of my favorite people in the world, D-Mac. Dynamic duo of Dirty Kurt and Marty Allen.
Let's go, Big Daddy.
And we'll see you next week. And as always, good night, Freddie Mac, wherever you are.
I can't take it anymore!
You're listening to Wine and Gold Radio.
Nailed it! Give me a How Come Quickie on WHK.
How come Bill Belichick coaches like, Ohio.
And boom goes the dynamite.